hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. A very important week it is. It is Pledge Week here on 90.1 FM KKFI. A chance for you, as the loyal listeners of KKFI, to pay it back to yourself in your own way and help support community radio in Kansas City. KKFI. Think about the programs you listen here on KKFI, then consider if you would be willing to do without them. If your answer is no, then the only remaining question is, how much will I contribute? First, it speaks to the breadth of the stories you hear on KKFI. They come from all parts of the globe, as well as parts of the Kansas City area as well. More than 80% of KKFI's programming is produced right here at 39th and Main, in the heart of Kansas City. But that programming reflects the diversity and creativity of KKFI and its listening communities throughout the region. We get reaction from people from Topeka. I've had the Topeka theater group on my show, Odessa, Plattsburgh, Paola. KKFI has something for everyone, including you. And we need everyone's support to sustain this valuable resource. I know a listener who said she valued KKFI because it let her see her world. And I think that's an interesting comment for a couple of reasons. First, it speaks to the breadth of the stories that you hear here on KKFI. They come from all parts of the globe, as well as from right here in Kansas City, in our own backyards. Second, she said that radio helps her see the world, to experience it, to process it, to understand it, and there's a certain value in that. What the value is, well, that's really for you to determine. We have various levels of giving that we have premiums for, but any pledge is welcome here on KKFI. For instance, at the $90 or more level, you can get a size small through four extra large KKFI collector's T-shirt. You must have an email to get the T-shirt. One pair of tickets to the Kansas City Folk Festival. That is coming up on Sunday, February the 21st, from 10 to 5 at the Westin Hotel in the Roanoke Room. And KKFI disc jockeys will host the KKFI stage in a live broadcast from 11 to 3:30. You can all be all a part of that if you wish. Something that's very popular with the listeners these days, the guest disc jockey slot. Yes, you can bring in your own CDs, your records. We have a couple of turntables. We can play 45s. We can play things like that. But for at the $150 or more level, you will receive a one-hour guest disc jockey certificate that will allow you or someone you know, it's a great birthday present, to be a radio personality for 1 hour on one of our locally produced music programs. Or at the $200 level, a combo, the T-shirt, the pair of tickets, and the guest disc jockey slot as well. You, too, can be one of the programmers here at KKFI. We have a very diverse group of programmers, and you could be one of them, couldn't you? If you dial 888-931-0901, and you can also pledge online if that's more convenient for you, kkfi.org. That's how you do it. That's how you pay it back to yourself, as I said earlier. We all know about paying back. Paying it back to yourself, what a wonderful thing that you could do, not just for you, but for those you care about, your loved ones. If they've always wanted to be on the radio, they can, if they can do this, if you can do this for them. Have you ever been inspired by anything you heard on this radio station? For instance, today I have a couple of dance companies on. The Sterling Dance Company is going to be with us. They're going to be doing their show Underground, and we're going to talk about it. How often do you hear groups like that interviewed on the radio here in town? Oh, they might get a 30-second slot on some other station, probably a paid commercial that they bought on there, things like that. But we can do more than that. We can feature them at longer length. We'll probably talk here for 22, 23 minutes. When I get to them, they're probably anxious for me to get to them, of course. But we can do that for them. We can give them the exposure they wouldn't get on another radio station. Commercial radio stations can't do that because they are very rigidly programmed. So many minutes for this. Then the weather at this time, and then the sports at this time, and all this. It would be hard for them to do this, but we can do that. We can do that. We can talk to these people. We can learn what they're all about, what they're doing, what their hopes and aspirations are. all those things. If you dial, you can help everyone out. You can help them. You can help yourself. If you can dial 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. We're in the technical age now. Of course, you don't have to be on the radio at with the radio on at home to hear KKFI. You can hear it in the car, but radio numbers really jumped when cars started putting in radios. But we're not limited to that anymore. You could listen to this program on your phone that you carry around. And you can not only listen to this program, you can listen to past programs through podcasts. If you missed last week's show or 2 weeks ago, that's on a podcast. So you can go to the KKFI website and listen to that program. So you have that access now in this technical age. So to help support community radio and all the things we can do for you and for the community, please dial 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. Like I said, we have the Sterling Dance Company with us today. They're doing their 9th annual version of the show Underground. It's a story of the Underground Railroad told in dance. It'll be happening Friday, February the 12th, and Saturday, February 13th at the Kauffman Center, 1601 Broadway. And here to tell us all about it, two of the people intricately involved in all of that, Jeremiah Anna is with us. He is the co-founder and CEO of the organization. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Great to have you here again. And Judy Jones is with us. She is the artistic director of the Kansas Academy of Theatrical Arts, and she is a cast member for how many years now, Judy? The whole time?
The whole time.
All nine years?
Time, yes. One of our stars, for sure.
You know the show pretty well, then.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think
yes,
she can teach everyone their parts. You know, any new person she'll go to.
I'm a swing.
That's right. Hey, you know, Michael, I don't know how these things work, but can we offer 2 free tickets as a part of if someone calls in during this time to make a donation?
Okay. I wish I had known ahead of time. I could have asked to coordinate things. But hold on to that thought.
Perhaps we
can do this. And if you call in and pledge, inquire about that, and they're probably listening in there.
So if someone calls in and mentions Sterling Dance Theater or Underground, we'll throw 2 tickets in there for
okay.
one person.
All right. That sounds great. That's very generous of you. Thank you. Tell me the story of how all of this came about 9 years ago. You met your wife, I guess, in Finland?
Well, yeah, that goes way back. I met my wife, Mona, in Finland, and she's from Finland. I was living in Sweden, and we both were in dance companies. And so we actually met at a conference in Israel, a dance conference. We met there, and the rest is history. And then she joined the company I was in. We had an incredible time touring throughout Europe and Eastern Europe, and then moved to Kansas City in 1996. To start Sterling Dance Theater. Sterling is actually her maiden name, so it's named after her. And basically, Underground, it came around, it started actually in 2000, the conversation started. Mona and I started noticing just this race relations culture issue, and we thought, this is not good, you know, and... So we started talking about it with our friends, Judy being one of those friends, and started working with our associate artistic director, Tobin James. And we started creating the show in 2004. It took 4 years to create this show. So all original music, of course, costumes, and it took 4 years. So we premiered it in 2008. And, you know, the story is the Underground Railroad story. And the reason we picked it and the conversations all of our friends had was here was a story of overcoming. Here was a story that showed that the issues aren't really necessarily about black versus white, but more importantly about good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought that was really important to highlight because... You know, if it's only a conversation about black versus white, you start to divide. I mean, would you say so?
Yes, you start to divide. And the story of the Underground Railroad is a story of struggle that overcomes. It's also a story of the Mormons who said, we're going to help.
The Quakers, right.
The Quakers.
Yeah.
The Quakers who said, we're going to help. And then you had a story of two cultures struggling together.
Right.
And two cultures dying for a cause.
Right.
Because the Quakers who hid the slaves in underneath, and they built false bottoms to wagons. They dug underneath their cabins. And they were an integral part. If it wasn't for them, the Underground Railroad would not have succeeded. And so it was, from its inception, a story of two cultures working together
to overcome
this major struggle.
Yeah.
For those who are not familiar, the Underground Railroad, it was not literally
a railroad. Not literally a railroad. There were no tracks, everybody.
but they traveled along probably not well-taken routes to avoid detection. And there were places that they could stay, like as if stops on a train.
And it was all very, you know, the word organic is popular. It was very organic in that sense. And when you read about it in the history books, they'll say, oh, it just popped up out of nowhere. But actually, it popped up in the church. It popped up in the churches that were deeply connected to the Bible and the whole message of the Bible. They weren't just cherry-picking little verses to justify themselves. So they knew that all human beings had value, and that's where it popped up, if you will, was in the churches. And then other people came along to help, too, who were not necessarily Christians. The American Indians helped.
Yes.
There was the term they used, anti-slavery, were people who weren't motivated by the value of the human being. They were motivated by the dollar, but they started to fight it, too. So there was just a whole thing that happened. But the movement, really starting in England and traveling over here, was really started in the churches who got it right, because they saw that every person had value. So, or as Seussical, they say, a person's a person, no matter how small.
Exactly.
And so that's the bulk of it. And it's just, it's a powerful story. And I think the unique things about this show is that it's very inspiring. Some people think, oh, this is going to be heavy. Well, it is heavy content, of course. But people just stand up, you know, so inspired, cheering throughout, you know, at the end of the show. And there's kind of a twist at the end that the show takes. It doesn't change history or anything, but there's a nice twist at the end that really helps everyone
to understand,
kind of come together.
The story.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my philosophy, they said, be a witness. If necessary, use words.
Oh.
And that's the other uniqueness about this show, is that it is all dance and pantomime and mime. And there are no words.
Yeah.
But the story is so told through the movement and the interaction of dancer and mime and actress and actor, that it is a gripping story. And even our fourth graders really understand it and really follow it well. So those of you who are coming to see this show, remember that you will be grabbed by the movement without words.
And yeah. Judy is a dancer in the show.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about your role.
My role is the old woman who has overslept in the cabin, the old slave who has overslept in the cabin, and I'm brought on by an overseer, and I'm brought on having been whipped already and thrown down into the cotton field, and that really is the first conflict that starts the entire conflict that needs to be resolved.
That's right. It instigates. And you see it's the first dramatic thing that happens in the show, and you see how torn the men and women are in wanting to comfort her and take care of her, and yet they risk putting themselves in harm's way just to care for her. So right away, it releases all these tensions that a slave had to go through, especially, I would say, the men who have that natural sense of honor.
Yes.
You know, they're put in a horrible place to remain honorable and stand up for the good things and stand up for their, you know, kind of a grandmother figure. And so it's very compelling. And the show doesn't stop from that point. It just goes, people are on the edge of their seat because it's told in such a dynamic way.
I'm also always impressed at the young people and the children who are on the edge of their seats without saying a word. They are grabbing a hold of it because it is constant motion.
Yeah.
And our culture today is so used to these bites, you know, of constant motion.
Yeah.
And, you know, kinesthetic learners like me and visual learners. And so that's the other reason that this show is so important for people to see, because it grabs you and it tells the story of how reconciliation is possible even in struggles. And we're still having struggles.
Yeah.
But we can see through this show that these struggles can be reconciled. And that's what's the important message of this show. Makes it continually contemporary.
We're speaking with Jeremiah Anna, the co-founder and CEO of Sterling Dance. Sterling Dance.
You got it.
Sterling Dance.
It's actually Sterling. But we won't make you do that one. Sterling Dance.
And Judy Jones, who is the artistic director of the Kansas Academy of Theatrical Arts, and she's a member of the show. I would assume then, can I assume? You know what happens when we assume. Can I assume that some of your students are in the show as well?
Yes, they are. The other wonderful thing that happened as I got involved with this was that the students at Kansas Academy of Theatrical Arts, which is a summer program and summer workshop program, needed, as they grew, a professional, you know, studio and company to graduate to. And that's what happened between Culture House and Kansas Academy. And so when, at the inception of this, I said, oh, I want to get involved in this story. And, you know, I was thinking doing publicity. I'm a former Marine, and so that's what I did in the Marine Corps. And they said, oh, yes, we want you to. And then they said, we want you to play this part. I'm like,
what?
As a kid say, seriously? But it was
right.
A wonderful way for me to, again, become an example to my students that in order to continue your education, it never ends.
Yeah.
You have to stay in the game.
Isn't that true?
Yes. And so that's really how I got involved. And the students that have performed with me these 9 years, one of those students actually became one of the students at Culture House. And
yeah.
It's a part of their artist development program.
Yeah.
And she's been my assistant and now is going to be this coming summer, my assistant artistic director.
That's right.
And she's growing into that and as a ministry. And so it
she's
is
really finding her vocation.
Yes.
And we've had since the beginning, we've had a constant partnership where her summer program students, which is, you know, and I've experienced it. It goes far beyond the arts. It's leadership training. It's, you know, after summer, the students interested in the arts as being their vocation or wanting to test that, they will be scholarshiped in at the Culture House, you know, for the 9 months of the school year. And it's real, that partnership's working. I just got a call last night from Ray, Isaac Ray Dean.
Yes.
Probably the first student that we connected over, and he got his degree in theater from KU. He's in New York making it, and he called. So we have some things to work on for him.
Yes.
But he is also in the show. He was in the show for several years, a professional actor now and doing great.
And because of this partnership, Isaac Ray Dean, who should have been a statistic, you know, black male who should have been a statistic, is now a successful, living on his own and making money.
Yeah, doing, as his craft.
As his craft in New York City. He's
right.
been in one show a year since he's been there.
Yeah, doing great and very meaningful work.
Yes, very meaningful.
So there's just a lot of, you know, the big surprise for Underground is that we produced the show and we thought, oh, we'll put it on the shelf and bring it back like the other shows every few years. And yet the public and our audience has continued to grow and expand and call it back. So you mentioned this is our 9th year. We're managing an experience I've never had before. You know, creating a tradition, really.
Yes.
So there are a lot of our audience that come every year, I'll meet people at events who say, you know, I bring my whole family every year. And one guy told me, I bring 30 people every year. I'm like, well, you're my best friend. You know? But it's that important and of a story. I think especially now, it's so important that we have a hopeful, we have a hope that's rooted in reality, not just a, you know, a bumper sticker phrase to keep us going, dealing with some of the issues and that are going on in our culture. And this story is the story.
And it's a perfect fit for Black History Month. For those of you who don't know, February is Black History Month. We are now in the month of February. It's February 1st, and it's a perfect fit for that. And it's going to be at the Kauffman Center. You go right to the biggest houses.
You know, hey, that's where we belong.
Hey. And you we were there the first year they opened.
Jane Chu, as who you know, was the president at the time. She had seen the show, and she contacted. It was probably one of the biggest honors, you know, because that place has transformed the city. And she called, and she wanted to talk, and she asked. And she's such a humble person. You know, here she is, one of the most amazing, articulate women I've ever met, you know. And she's like, you know, would you please bring Underground to the Kauffman Center? And I said, I think we can manage that, you know.
It's such a big place. I know, of course, the ballet and the Lyric perform there, all of their shows there. But did you think, well, is our show big enough for the Kauffman? Or did you not have any doubts?
Well, you know, that was probably year five or, you know, we moved over there, I think, year five. And so we had produced the show at the Music Hall and the Lyric and seen the scale. And I didn't have any doubts. It had been well tested, which is why she made the move. You know, not only was it, you know, Paul Horsley, the critic at the Independent
the dance
now.
Critic.
Right.
At the Independent now. You're
he chose the show as one of the top 10 shows of the decade for Kansas City. And I produce a lot of shows. You know, we're both involved in the arts. This show is the real deal. It is competitive on a national level. And it fills that stage, and it looks better on that stage. I'll say that. It sounds better in that hall. But it does the job.
Okay, let's get the particulars down here. The performances for the public to attend. You also have some educational performances for schools on different dates. But these are the performances that the public can attend Friday, February the 12th at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday the 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Kauffman Center. For those of you who don't know, 1601 Broadway is the address of the Kauffman Center. How do you want this done? I have the website Storling Dance, S-T-O-R. L-I-N-G, that's the reason I mispronounce it sometimes, StorlingDance.org, and I also have a phone number, a 393 number. Now, is that a good number to give?
Actually, the Kauffman Center box office is really the best.
Okay.
I don't know if you have it on there.
I don't.
Okay. But if you call the Kauffman Center box office, you can get tickets directly from them.
Okay.
Or you can go to the link at StorlingDance.org, and those numbers will be there.
Okay, good. Good to know. The performances are starting soon, Friday the 12th. The preparations, I'm sure, are well underway.
Also, a great date for Valentine's Day.
Well, it would be
Saturday night. Yes.
That's right.
Have a beautiful dance show.
It can't hardly be beaten.
That's right.
You have other things. People get confused sometimes. Oh, we only have 4 minutes. People get confused sometimes. There's two organizations, Storling Dance and Culture House, and if we count yours, that's a third. So what do you do to keep Culture House and Storling Dance
separate? Culture House is really the umbrella organization, and Storling Dance Theater is one of our programs, and it's our most prominent professional group. So
Culture House does dances with some of the students. I've seen a couple of those.
That's an educational academy, so we have brilliant teachers, dance, theater, music, and art. And a couple of our top students will get in the show. So, like, Brianna James is the lead in our school show this year. She's also dancing in the production.
And then Kansas Academy of Theatrical Arts is located in Wyandotte County. We are, our summer workshops are at John F. Kennedy Elementary School, and as our summer workshops, and that is makes us really, really saturating
yeah.
the target audience that we both want to meet.
That's right.
Yeah, so with him in Johnson County and Kansas Academy in Wyandotte County, we're covering our base.
That's right.
You're covering it all.
And the cast comes from all over the city and some from outside. But, yeah, it really covers the city.
Okay, again, on February 12th. And February 13th, Friday and Saturday nights, at the Kauffman Center, 1601 Broadway. The number, well, I don't have the Kauffman box office, but I have this 913-393 number. Is that all right? 913-393-3141 for more information. Or hop online. You can go to Sterling Dance, S-T-O-R-L-I-N-G, dance.org, Sterling Dance. And you can be connected, I think, to the proper website.
That's
to purchase your tickets if you wish for the Underground for the ninth year in a row, produced by Sterling Dance Company of Olathe, Kansas. Technically.
Yeah, Olathe, the artistic center of the universe.
Do you want to give your website or phone number?
Website is www.kata youth academy.com.
Okay, very good. Thank you both for coming and telling us all the background information on this. It's quite impressive. In fact, there's a video on your website. Mm-hmm. I guess it links to YouTube, mm-hmm. and it shows part of the performance, at least, and part of an interview you did on KCPT a few years back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a great job with that.
That's right. Thanks so much for coming. Jeremiah
Anna,
the co-founder and CEO of a Sterling Dance Company, and Judy Jones, I'm just going to read it right off of her card. The artistic director and founder of the Kansas Academy of Theatrical Arts.
Thank
also
you
a
so
performer
much.
In the show as
yes.
well.
Thanks
so much for being with us. When we return, we're going to tell you more about this important week here at KKFI as we raise funds to help support community radio KKFI. But first, we're going to check in and see what old Russ Simmons has seen at the movies this week and what he recommends. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. Thank you very much. Yes, welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. I highly recommend these $150 level guest disc jockey spots. That's very exciting. There have been people, not talking out of school here, there have been people who have been the recipient of a guest disc jockey spot, went on, got some experience, volunteered here, actually became a programmer here at KKFI. It's a great story. It really is. And it all starts by picking up the phone and dialing 888-931-0901. Or, of course, you can do it online at kkfi.org. Is KKFI a habit with you? You know, we're easy to take for granted. Do you forget sometimes how important listening to a particular program is in your life? It takes a special kind of person to appreciate a non-commercial, community-based station like KKFI. You're listening right now, and that makes you something very special. Why are you listening? What is it worth to you? What happens when you listen? You get informed, entertained, inspired, sometimes even captivated. Your mind is engaged. Isn't that very important in this day and age, to be engaged? Some people just zone out of life, and that's very sad. It's programming that matters for people who care. Now, today's the day to stop and think about it. Why are you listening, and what is it worth to you? We have people pledge at all various different levels. We will accept any kind of pledge that you want to give us because, frankly, they add up. Everything does. We'd like to have the larger numbers, of course, but we appreciate every listener we have. I thank everyone that pledges the program. We have a great arts lineup here on KKFI, Arts Magazine here on Monday, Maria Vasquez Boyd and Art Speak Radio on Wednesdays at noon. Sometimes Charles Ferrugia will have an arts guest on. Sometimes Mark Manning will have a guest from the arts community on. We try to cover the gamut of the arts here in town, and we think we do a good job. We could always do better. We need your feedback from the public to help us with that as well. A very lot of different people listen to KKFI, a lot of different kinds of people program shows here on KKFI, and we appreciate the support of the listening audience, the community. It's all very important to us because without your input, it would not happen. KKFI is diverse. It's eclectic. It's challenging, educational, inspiring. It's also portable. You know, you can listen to KKFI on your phone now. You can listen to podcasts of past shows on your phone now. You can go to the website and listen to the podcast. You can listen on your phone. It's amazing the kind of age we live in. Who would have thought back when this station went on the air nearly 28 years ago that that would be possible? But it is, and you're the recipient of it, and I know you want to keep that going on. So please, when you have a chance, dial 888-931-0901 to help support community radio, to help support KKFI and all the wonderful things we can bring you. We can do even more with more resources that we have. So please do that for us, 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. Welcome back to the show. We have still more arts activity. As I said earlier, you know, where would you get a chance to hear from the City in Motion Dance Theater and their upcoming event? Except for here on KKFI, they could have a brief mention on other radio stations. Probably only brief, only a few minutes. But here on KKFI, we're going to talk to them for the next 20 minutes here. And I'm happy to have with us Andrea Skavronik, one of the artistic directors of City in Motion Dance Company. She is a choreographer. She is also a dancer. She's been with them a long time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
They do several events every year. Crystal Robbins is with us as well. Once again, she is the production director. For the event which is coming up, A Modern Night at the Folly, mm-hmm. A choreographer showcase, and that will happen on Saturday, this coming Saturday actually, February 6th at 8 o'clock p.m., of course, at the Folly Theater, 300 West 12th Street, down in the Arts District downtown, new and burgeoning Arts District downtown. We have different arts districts all over town now. You know, for a long time, it was just kind of in between. But now there's one at the Crossroads area. Mm-hmm. There's one downtown. And you're really in both places. You have your studio in the Crossroads area here on Main, but you perform sometimes at the Folly Theater as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you here, Crystal Robbins and Andrea Skavronik with us. It's coming up, Modern Night at the Folly. How many choreographers, Crystal, are involved in this year's presentation?
Well, this year we have 10. Usually that's kind of the number that we look for, 10 choreographers. That kind of makes the perfect show for the amount of time that we have at the Folly. And one of the choreographers this year is actually Andrea Skavronik. She's representing City in Motion as the choreographer for City in Motion this time.
These are all creations of the choreographers themselves.
Yes. So it's an adjudicated showcase, which means that I think we had 29 or 30 applicants this year. Mm. And we have an adjudicator from outside of Kansas City look at the pieces so that they're not biased. And they look at what they think are the strongest, nine strongest, because City in Motion always has a piece in the show because we produce it. So then we look for nine other choreographers that have the strongest work and also that would fit well into a show. So, you know, we want to maybe have a solo or two, several group pieces. We want diversity in the concert. And so it's important to not have 10 pieces that look exactly the same.
Sure.
So that there's some variety.
Sometimes it means something to the choreographer. You did one a few years ago about your brother.
I did. Yeah, I've done a lot about my family. And the piece I'm doing this year, it's called Tribe. It has four dancers. And it actually started with my daughter. She was graduating from high school and graduating from the apprentice company here. And I wanted to do a piece about her and just the friendships that she had made dancing, because dance is like no other art form. It's a community-based, a little bit like theater, but you're using, of course, your body as your tool. And these dancers got so close, and they were like a tribe. And I wanted to play around with that idea, so the group is very cohesive. And then, so I set the piece on the children's apprentice company, and then I decided I wanted to do it for the adult professional group. And then I added a section onto it, which would fit more with that, you know, the adult input. We did a lot of improv to put that section together. So I'm glad the piece is kind of continuing. And so, it kind of came from my daughter and her experience in dancing.
Things that are inspired like that always seem to work well in the end. And it seems to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have nine others behind Andrea, mm-hmm. but besides Andrea.
Yes. We have Sabrina Madison Cannon, Allison McKenzie, Jennifer Medina, Elaine Kimball Peaks, Susan Douglas Roberts, and Cameron Saunders. Elaine and Cameron and Sabrina have all presented works at Modern Night before, but Susan is new to the Modern Night at the Folly Showcase. We also have Andrea Shermali. She's also a new choreographer presenting this year. And then we have Suzanne Ryan Shreddy and Patrick Suzo, who have also presented pieces in the show previous years.
Well, pick a few of them and tell me what they're about. What would be a good selling point?
we have quite a few. I mean, all of the dances are each their own special, unique entity, and everything, in my opinion, they're just all intriguing and exciting to watch. We do have a couple of pieces that mix medias, like we have a piece from Andrea Shermali. She is collaborating with Quixotic, and so they have kind of, you know, the video playing in the background. They have performance artists also intertwining with the dancers on stage. There is also Suzanne Ryan's piece, A Tulip Unfolding, which she started working on this piece over the summer for a Fringe Festival and presented it there. And she worked with area citizens that have Parkinson's.
Oh, sure.
And so she interviewed them and based the choreography and the piece around the text that she got from them during the interview process. So the piece literally depicts these different people's stories and their, it's basically telling their lives and how this disease has affected them. And while that's going on, there is a live percussionist on stage, so that's a little bit different and exciting to watch in comparison to just watching dance being done to recorded music. So
yeah, that seems to be a trend these days, different mediums getting involved, mm-hmm. Video, things of that nature, various effects more. You didn't used to see that in dance numbers, but you sure have in the last 10 years at least.
Yeah, I think choreographers are just looking for ways to stretch the human body and to stretch what they can exhibit, with the human body, but then with other things, how other art forms, how far can you take it and what things can you add in? Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes, it's overkill, you want to make sure your message still comes across.
I asked the former artistic director at the ballet one time. I said, no, every dance in its own way tells a story, correct? He said, no, not necessarily. Sometimes it's just for the visual area, but a lot of them tell a story. And actually, I think they're better if they do tell some kind of story or make some kind of point.
Well, and some choreographers like it if you make up your own story.
Yeah.
So if you look at a dance and they'll say, well, what did it mean to you? Because it will affect everyone differently.
Yeah, visual artists have told that on this show. I said, well, what does your piece mean? And they'll say, well, what does it mean to you?
Right.
So you have a lot of wide interpretation on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can have a piece that's just abstract and there's just shapes and energy and movement, just movement for movement's sake.
Yeah. Now, Crystal, do you pick from people you've seen before? Are you more comfortable with that? Or are you willing to give a new choreographer a shot here?
Well, I think the purpose of what we do is to try to bring those new choreographers, provide a venue for them to showcase works that they might not have had a chance to put on a professional stage. So it is always exciting. We have the adjudicator help. Basically pick what goes in the show, but it's fun for me because I do review all of the videos to make sure that what is submitted fits within the parameters of the show and mm-hmm. will work. But it's always fun to get a submission from someone that I've never heard from before, and to see what kind of things, just what choreographers are doing now in comparison to 2 years ago or even last year. It's just always fun to see new names and new choreographers for me.
Yeah. Well, you can find these people. You can see them around. Do you have to submit a video presentation if you do? Is that what you expect?
Yes. All choreographers submit a video of their work. We ask for finished works, completed works, so we can really see what the work will look like on stage, presented on the Folly stage with lighting and, you know, sound and all of that. So.
Yeah, that's... That sounds like a pretty daunting prospect.
Yeah, this year it was very hard. The adjudicator just really, you know, wanted to do a good job. They always do, but it's sometimes really difficult to choose between pieces that might be equally good, but you have to choose one, you know, and so... Yeah, one out of three pieces get chosen. So there might be lots of pieces that were very good but didn't quite get in for whatever reason.
Well, there's always next time.
Exactly, yeah. We encourage people to keep trying, and maybe sometime there'll be something that'll just...
Has the adjudicator made decisions already?
Yeah, oh yeah, the show.
Can that be talked about, or is that not to be yet talked about?
Oh, no, these pieces at Crystal... mentioned are in those.
Oh,
are, those
okay.
are the ones yeah. in the show. Yeah, it's final.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that to know you're going to be judged like that always gives people a little more nerves than they might otherwise have doing something like that.
Yeah, and the adjudicator also gives feedback, so they will say, you know, written feedback. Oh, I liked this, or maybe you could have tried this here, and. This was really nice, but what did this mean? You know, which is very subjective.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how do you judge somebody's work? You can have some criteria, but everybody's opinion is going to be different. So
yeah.
we put a lot of trust in the adjudicator every year to help us with this.
Well, I was asked about the background of the shows. I would suppose the adjudicator didn't even have the benefit of that.
This adjudicator, well, her name is Donna K. Froge. She was an artistic director of City in Motion, and she lives in Houston, Texas now. So she's away, you know, from the area, and so we thought she would have some objectivity.
Sure.
And but we've had adjudicators from California, from, you know, all over the place. And we try to switch the adjudicators up, too.
Of course.
Just so that there's a variety in the show.
The show is happening on this Saturday night, the 6th of February at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Folly Theater. The Folly is located at 300 West 12th Street, one whole block even, east of Broadway on 12th Street. It's a historic old building.
Yeah.
When you can see some of the posters, they've changed around. But in the past, they've had posters up of performers who have been there in the past. Gypsy Rose Lee, the Marx Brothers, Humphrey Bogart, and many others too have all performed in that space at the Folly Theater. So that has to give one kind of a nostalgic feel as you're in the building.
Beautiful theater, yeah, and it's just the right size for dance. It's not an enormous stage, so it feels a little more intimate when you're watching the dance pieces.
Yeah, is it good for a dancer when you have the top of the balcony kind of overhangs to a degree, and you feel like you're really close to the stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think for the dancers on the stage, the audience feels very close.
Do you like that, being that close?
Yeah, because you can really feel the energy of the crowd, and yeah, you can hear people gasping and hear people cheering and clapping. And
now, I have your website, I have the City in Motion number, and I have the Folly number as well. Which was the best one to give out? The Folly number? The 816-474-4444? Is that the best number for information?
Yes, and you can get tickets online at the Folly website, www.follytheater.org.
At follytheater.org. I also have City in Motion's website. You do many things over there. Mostly you're known for your classes as well as your professional shows.
Yeah, if people would like more information about City in Motion Dance Theater and the school and our performance series, they can go to the City in Motion website and yeah, you see all the schedule of the classes for children and adults. Lots of photos and videos.
Oh, sure. Now, what kind of classes? I guess the semester started a while back.
Yes, the winter semester has started. There is always a great array of classes. There's, in addition to ballet and modern and jazz and tap for children and adults, there is flamenco, there's social dancing, sort of a ballroom style dancing. There's a body conditioning class. There's belly dancing, hip-hop for kids and for adults, youth ballroom, world dance fusion, Indian dance. So there's quite a variety.
I think, is it all right if someone has no experience whatsoever?
Yeah, there's beginning levels. And there's lots of adults who take class at City in Motion. So, yes, beginners are welcome.
You also have classes for young people, and mm-hmm. some of those have worked their way up and are pretty good. I mean, I see them every summer at Dance in the Park.
Yeah, yeah. There are dancers who've gone through the program who have danced professionally. So
right.
I'm one of them. And Crystal was in our apprentice company when she was a youngster.
Yeah, I won't ask how long ago that was, Crystal.
Yeah, you don't need to age me.
Now, you also teach for Powerhouse Dance?
Yes. I teach kind of and choreograph throughout the city, but I've always kept my connection with City in Motion, you know, wherever I'm teaching. It's always been a constant in my life, whether I was taking classes at the age of, you know, 17, then the professional company, and now I've been doing a modern night for, this is my fifth year now, so yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's several big shows every year. I guess in January it starts, or February, it's February now, with Modern Night at the Folly. Then you have a company show later on in the spring.
Yes, and this is a big year for us. We are celebrating the 30th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Of City in Motion. Mm-hmm. I know. Thank you. So we're having a concert April 29th, 30th, and May 1st at Union Station. And what's exciting is we're bringing two of the founders, the original founders of City in Motion, Randy Barron and Kathleen Kingsley, are coming back to set pieces on our current company. So it's nice. It's like a full circle, you know, having them here.
Now there's other shows throughout the year, I guess. But
there's Dance in the Park.
The next big thing is in the week. It's the weekend after Labor Day weekend.
It's Dance in the Park
in Roanoke Park.
Yes, that's another huge community show because it's many dance companies, many different styles, where a Modern Night at the Folly is modern or contemporary dance. Dance in the Park, you may have ethnic dance forms. We try to mix it up so that there's not just modern or ballet. There's a lot of ethnic forms, too. And Michael is our host for Dance in the Park. So
yeah, oh, happy
he
to
knows.
Do it. Happy to do it. It's a lot of fun, and I have the advantage of seeing people progress, especially the young ones.
Yeah.
I remember, because there are certain ones you do remember. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dancers on stage, but there are certain ones that stand out.
Yeah.
And you do remember them, and you see how they progress, and it's satisfying in a way. It's not me dancing.
Right, but you kind of participate in their growth and their improvement.
You feel like you know them, and, of course, I speak to them, so in some cases I do know them.
Yeah.
And you see the progression, and it's quite satisfying, not as much as the teachers would be, but it's very satisfying to see that happen. They're all very talented. Now, Modern Night at the Folly is a choreographer showcase. So, once again, that is pieces that the choreographers, they would usually be working on other people's pieces and putting it together, perhaps even participating in the show sometimes. But this is their own choreography, so it's their own creation, and sometimes it's even based on people they know, things that have happened, so there's a personal touch to it as well. And that's what makes a choreographer showcase perhaps the most interesting of all of them.
Yeah, and it's such a great show because if you go to a dance company, often the choreography is the same. It's the same choreographer, the same style. But there's such a variety that it's just so interesting. And as Crystal was saying, it's really intriguing. And if you don't like a piece, well, maybe you'll like the next one.
Or
if you don't, you know, there's Such a great variety and professionalism, too.
Choreographers who are often, not in all cases, but often dancers themselves, doing their own creations. So it's more personal. And
yeah.
That's why there's more involved in things like that. Great to have you with us. The number to call at the Folly box office number is 816-474-4444. FollyTheater.org.
It's ORG.
FollyTheater.org. And there is a phone number for City in Motion if you're interested in the classes or have questions. I'll bet people have lots of questions. what they would be best at. And that number to call is 816-561-2882. And, of course, City in Motion's website is cityinmotion.org. Thank you so much, both
Thanks
of you, for coming.
Us.
Thank you.
Big events are coming up, and you have the ability to see those if you choose to check them out. Modern Night at the Folly, a choreographer showcase, the 13th annual City in Motion Modern Night at the Folly, takes place this Saturday, February the 6th, 8 o'clock p.m. at the historic Folly Theater, 300 West 12th Street. The Folly box office number, 816-474-4444, or FollyTheater.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
.org.
Thanks. Andrea Skowronik, one of the artistic co-directors of City in Motion. She's also a choreographer herself and a dancer. And you're in one of them?
No, I'm not dancing
one
anymore.
Oh, come on.
I'm retired.
Much too young.
But I am still choreographing.
And Crystal Robbins, the production director, performs and dances. Not in this particular evening.
Not in this.
But she teaches for Powerhouse Dance as well. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We want to remind you once again that the number to call in your pledge for Community Radio KKFI is 888-931-0901. Our music and entertainment programs guide you to where you want to go, to music concerts, to theaters, festivals, they all enrich your life. And there's a tremendous value in that, perhaps even more than you can afford to give. So that's okay. Just give what you can. We understand your action today, right now, will ensure that KKFI is here for you when you want it. During these fun drives, no matter how much we talk about KKFI, this fun drive is really about you, what your needs are, what your likes and dislikes are. And because it's important to you, it's important that we share with you what it takes to keep this service going. More than anything, it takes your financial contribution. When you cut through all of the talk, the thank you gifts, the guest disc jockey at the $150 level and more, when you cut through all of that, what's really important is, does it help? Does it help you? Does it inform you? Does it entertain you? Is it important to you in your life? If you turned on the radio one morning and you couldn't get the particular show you want, how would you feel about that? We're not saying that's in the offing. It's not, but it is something to ponder. So remember, various levels at the $90 level or more, one pair of tickets to the Kansas City Folk Festival, the KKFI guest disc jockey spot at the $150 level, or at the $200 level or more, the combo, the KKFI T-shirt, the pair of tickets to the Folk Festival, and the guest disc jockey spot. That's the one you should consider when you call and make your pledge to support Community Radio at 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. We await your call. And it's a way to pay it back to yourself. Sam Weisman, the Jazz Insider, is next. He'll be playing some great jazz all afternoon long, at least from 1 to 3. Then the blues from 3 to 6, part of the eclectic music lineup here on KKFI. All day long here on KKFI. Music, information, different kinds of music in the evening, public affairs shows. It's a nice mix here on KKFI. I think if you check out more of it, I think you'll really like it too. Sam Weisman is next. And so until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.